If you turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 3, we'll begin at verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap, very far from the city Adam, and is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed, and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground, until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, even now in this hour, Lord, oh Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. And Lord, that we might see anew, see afresh the Lord Jesus in his glory and in his greatness. In Jesus' name, amen. Really, the central text of the message this morning is found in verse 7 of our reading. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Now we know that in Scripture, both Moses and Joshua are types of the Lord Jesus. And when we think of Moses as being that type of the Lord Jesus, here it says, I will begin to magnify Joshua in your midst. And there was that time where Moses was magnified and in the sight of the Israelites. He was, his greatness, there was something of his glory, we might say, of him as a deliverer and it was revealed to the children of Israel. They saw him as that great deliverer, and the Lord magnified him amongst the people. He was taken and was made that leader. And we have in Moses, we have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ to us. We see that the Lord Jesus has been magnified to us. We see him as, just as Moses was that deliverer to the Israelites, so he has become our deliverer. He delivered us, we've been delivered through the Lord Jesus Christ from that slavery. The Israelites were taken out of slavery, so we have been taken out of slavery to sin, taken out of that place of bondage. And we've been brought through and brought into that marvellous deliverance and marvellous liberty. And we think of Moses, of how he mediated on behalf of the people. We think of how, when they'd made the golden calf, how the Lord was ready to pour out his wrath on them because of what he saw them do. And how Moses came and made intercession and pleaded on their behalf before God and said, "You've brought them out. You've brought these children out of Egypt. And now think what the people will say if you now pour out your wrath." And how the scripture says that God repented of this evil that he would have done upon them. We see Moses as that mediator. We see Moses as the one who sustains the way he struck the rock, and out of that rock flowed water. And we see Christ as our sustainer. We see the one who poured out his life that we might have life, and so that we might be sustained. We see all of this. We see how the waters of Marah, which were once bitter, were turned sweet, and how we see how the Lord Jesus Christ turns that bitterness into something sweet. Even the trials, even what we go through, he turns it into something that is sweet. And we see all this in the Lord Jesus. We see the life of Moses as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It points forward to the Lord Jesus Christ and gives us a depth of understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see his great mercies towards us. In, you don't necessarily need to turn to it, but in John chapter 17 it says this: "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his," John 17, "and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." There was a sense in which Moses was glorified. He was magnified in the sight of the people. There was a sense in which he was magnified in their midst. And he was given that power, and he was given that authority to deliver them from that place of bondage. And then we see Jesus, he was glorified. He was given power over those children of Israel. And he was given that power and authority to give them that life by bringing them out of bondage into that glorious freedom and deliverance from Egypt. Now, the reason why I begin by looking at Moses in this way, and really, I really want to center on Joshua this morning, is because I wonder if, in seeing the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and seeing him having been magnified to our hearts by the Father, by the working of the Holy Spirit, I wonder if we have rested with only a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as typified by Moses. We've seen him, yes, as a sustainer. We've seen him as a mediator. We've seen him as the one that turns that bitterness into something that's sweet. We've seen him as the one who is our saviour and deliverer, who's rescued us. But have we seen him in the way that Joshua is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because it says in this passage, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." The Lord magnified Moses, and there was that day, and we think of that passage that says today is the day of salvation. And each one have known that today for us, that today is the day of salvation. We've known that deliverance. But I wonder if we've known this, where the Lord says to us, "This day will I begin to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in your sight in a totally new way." So Jesus becomes your captain. So he becomes your sanctifier. So he is the one that takes you in to the promised land. You see, so often we think of the promised land as heaven. We sing hymns that speak of the promised land, of going over Jordan as heaven. And yet, because of that, we can end up resting in the wilderness. We rest in the wilderness thinking that the promised land is waiting someday when we reach heaven. And when we look at what the promised land was like, we see that there were still battles, there were still victories to be won, there were still occasions of defeat. And that cannot be heaven. There can be no way that the promised land is a picture of heaven. It's a picture of what the Christian life should be like. And unless we see Christ typified by Joshua and enter into an experience where Christ becomes real to us in the way that Joshua was the captain to the children of Israel, we will never enter into the promised land. And we will still be in that wilderness experience. Yes, knowing Christ as our mediator. Yes, knowing Christ sustaining us. Yes, knowing Christ providing that food as Moses saw the manna and the quails being provided for the people. We will see all of those things, and we will see the Lord Jesus Christ high and lifted up. But we won't enter in to the promised land, and we won't see Christ as he really is. We will always have this limited view of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord today wants to say this. He says, "This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of Israel." The Lord wants to magnify Christ to us. He wants us to see his greatness. He wants us to see his power. He wants to see his authority. He wants us to see him in a deeper way and move from a simple place of seeing purely as the one who saves and delivers, and to see him as the one that takes us into the promised land, and not only takes us into the promised land, but causes us to dwell in the promised land. And just as it was through death, and we will see this in due course, just as it was through death that they came out of Egypt, so it is through death that we will come into the promised land. It was through the waters of the Red Sea that they came out of Egypt. And those waters, as they came through them, when they were on the side of Egypt, they saw these waters blocking them from exiting Egypt. But then when they came out of Egypt, those waters came down and that blocked them from Egypt. So they were never to return to Egypt again. Those waters came down and they blocked, and there was a what had once been a stopping them from exiting Egypt now was going to stop them entering back into Egypt. And and that speaks of that death to the old life, and that passing through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's also a death, and here, of entering into the promised land. And that Jordan River, it also speaks of death. And the only way that we can enter into the promised land is by death. But what is the nature of this promised land? You see, we have to see that Christ must be magnified in our hearts. He must be shown, we must see his greatness. Now, when they came into the promised land, they immediately have to fight these battles. And in chapter 4 and verse 23 and 24, Joshua chapter 4, 23 and 24, it says this, "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever." Here, they'd passed over Jordan. They've come into the promised land. That promised land which was going to be flowing with milk and honey. The promise is of God that now were being fulfilled. And it says, now the people of the earth will see, might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. You see, when the people of God are brought into the promised land, then the people outside will look on and say, truly, God is mighty. They will see the might of God, and there will be that absolute transformation amongst his people. They will look on and they will see that transformation. And also, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. You see, in being brought into the promised land, he brings us to that place where we're just in awe of God and we're just totally yielded to God. It's a total yieldedness to God. And he's bringing us, he brings us through to that promised land. But there is also, as I said, these battles. And we think immediately they have to fight, take on Jericho. And we see in chapter 6 and verse 2 it says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given up into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor." And then in verse 27 of chapter 6, "So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country." This was after they'd won the battle. And we see here, it says, the Lord says to Joshua, "I have given into thy hand Jericho." Now, this battle, when we're in the promised land, every battle that we come against is fought by the Lord on our behalf, and he wins the victory. Joshua was given Jericho, it says, and the Lord is given every battle. He's given every victory. He overcomes all our enemies. And you see, we can be wandering in the wilderness, full of fear, full of doubt, overcome by the enemy. We can be in a place where our flesh is overcoming us. We can know our souls troubled. We can be weary. We can be worried. It's as if our souls are in turmoil. And you see, that is the place of the wilderness. That is not the place of the promised land. The promised land is the place of milk and honey. It's the place of corn, where there is that richness of bread, where we're feeding upon the Lord Jesus. It's the place where the wine overflows. And it's speaking of the joy that we know, the joy that fills our hearts. It's that pastures where there is rest for the soul and peace for the soul. And that's the real place where we should be as believers, seeing Christ as our victor, seeing Christ as our captain, seeing Christ as the one who fights our battles. Afterwards, they fight against Ai and they're defeated, but then they fight again. And in chapter 8 and verse 18 it says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand towards Ai, for I will give it into thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city." And then down in verse 25 and 26, "And so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai." And we see that in the promised land, in this place of total rest, in place of where we're seeing Christ as our captain, then there is total victory. And the Lord doesn't withhold his hand. He comes as the one who conquers and defeats every enemy of our soul. He defeats everything that would come against our soul and bring us down. Every fear, every doubt, everything that troubles our hearts. You see, if we're in that place this morning, we're still in that wilderness wandering, and the Lord wants to bring us through. So we're in that verdant place where there's the pastures and where there's the rejoicing and where there's joy of the Lord, and we're walking in rest from torment and trouble of our hearts, and where we're walking in victory against every enemy. You see, they went out as conquerors, and we think of when the five kings of the Amorites came against them, and they defeated them. You see, even when the enemy comes in against us, if we're in that promised land, we gain the victory. You see, if we're in the wilderness, then there is only murmurings, there's doubt, there's fear. You think of the children of Israel, they were saved. They'd been brought out of Egypt, and yet there was that fear, there was doubt, there was murmurings. And we can find ourselves in that place. And the Lord wants to bring us through to a place where we're overflowing with the joy of the Lord, where we delight to be in his presence, where it's such a joy that all we want to do is spend hour upon hour in his presence, because it's so wonderful. It's not a thought where we think, I just want to spend a few, you know, I must spend a few minutes in the Lord's presence. You see, Moses speaks of the law, and sometimes we make that spending the time in God's presence a law, as if we're going to now spend a few minutes, rather than delighting in his presence and saying, this is so wonderful. And we need a revelation of Jesus in the way that Joshua is a type of Jesus. We need to see him as that captain who will bring us through and bring us into that wonderful place of the promised land, where there is fullness of joy and where there is all those riches to be enjoyed. It should be overflowing from our heart, this joy and this love to the Lord. It's a place of rest for our souls. It's a place of peace within our souls. But when we think of all of this, all that the Lord wants to bring us into, how he wants us, give us this fresh revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just as the one who saved our souls, who saved us from sin, but the one who is the captain. And he just says, follow me. Go on, be directed by me. Just let me lead the way. Because that's what Joshua was doing. He was the captain of the army. As they went forth, battle after battle, he just said, follow me. Just obey me. Obey my orders. Do as I've said. When they were defeated at Ai, it was because they hadn't obeyed the orders of Joshua. He just says, right, now you've come into the promised land, now follow me and just obey me. And you will know that joy and victory day by day. But how do we enter into the promised land? Because It's all very well saying, well, we may find ourselves in the wilderness, and there's this wonderful promised land that you speak of. And there's this wonderful revelation of the Lord Jesus as just captain, as the one who will give me rest for my soul, and I can be free from this worry, and I can be free from this turmoil in my soul, and I can be overflowing with the joy of the Lord, and I can just be delighting in Him every moment of every day, and I can just be feasting upon Him, and I can be reading the Word, and it's just coming alive to me, and it's a delight, and I just find glories and wonders in it day by day. And you can say, but this is wonderful, but how do I get in? And you see, we've seen that Moses is a type of Christ, and we see that Joshua is a type of Christ, but we also see that the Ark in this chapter, the Ark of the Covenant, is also a type of Christ. It says in chapter 3 and verse 3, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it, that you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. And then in verse 11 of chapter 3, behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ died to take away our sin. He died to deliver us. But the Lord Jesus Christ also died to take us into the promised land. And that's the reality of it. The Ark of the Covenant went before the people. The Ark of the Covenant went through the waters of Jordan. And the Lord Jesus Christ went before us, and he went into death. That river of Jordan, speaking of death, he went before us, he went through death, and he went through to take us into the promised land. And it says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, follow behind, and let there be a distance. You see, we have to follow behind, and we have to enter into that death that the Lord Jesus Christ entered into. And there is that death that we need to come it through. You see, there needs to be not only that dead to sin that happened when we were saved. There needs to be that death to the flesh, to the death to self. And when we die to flesh and die to self, then we enter in and to the promised land. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, not my will, but thine be done. When he said those words, he was going before us. He was going as one who was denying self, denying the flesh, and he was yielding himself perfectly to the Father. And he went as the one that goes before us, and he entered into that death, and he says, now you follow me. You follow me. Yes, you've been saved. Yes, you've been wondrously saved. You've been rescued from sin. But now follow me and enter into all that I've got for you. Enter into all the promises that you find in Scripture. Enter into my joy. Enter into my rest. The rest that Hebrews 4 speaks, that there is this rest that is there for the people, awaiting each one of us. There's that rest. A rest where it's no longer me struggling. Enter into that fruitfulness where you can be fruitful in all things, in the things of God, where you can know the outpouring of the oil, which it speaks of where it speaks of the oil in the promised land. That oil, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And how do we enter in? We enter in through death. That's how we enter in. Christ made that way, and he yielded up his life, and he said, not my will, but thine be done. And now it is asked of us, will you go the way of death? Well, you say, not my will, but thine be done. And as we enter in through that death, we enter in to the promised land. We enter into a place where there is peace, where there is the comfort of God, where there is the victory day by day, moment by moment, where we're walking in holiness, where we're walking in total yieldedness to God, where we're walking in sanctification. It says, sanctify yourselves. It says, go by the way of the waters, go by way of the death, by death. And then afterwards, in chapter 5, we find that there was that circumcision. And he says, now, as you go into that promised land, now will you circumcise your hearts? Now will you yield your hearts completely up to me? You see, there's something far deeper that the Lord wants to show us about himself. He wants to show us that he's not just the saviour of our souls. He wants us to see that he's the one that takes us through into the promised land. That's what Joshua did. Joshua took them through into the promised land. And the way that we do it is by following Christ. He's that picture of the Ark of the Covenant going before us. And if we go by way of death, we will enter it. There should be no weariness in the Christian life. There should be that joy of the Lord, him being our life, being our nourishment, finding ourselves in the pastures, finding the anointing of the Spirit, finding the fullness of the Spirit day by day, walking in holiness before the Lord. And I wonder, are we living in that experience? If not, the way is through the River Jordan. Is the way is through death. And allowing us to see Christ in that picture of Joshua and seeing him truly as the captain of our salvation, who will give us the victory over every trial, every battle, every struggle, every accusation of the enemy. Joshua gave them the victory. It doesn't talk about the people getting the victory. It talks about Joshua, into his hand was given the victory. And into Christ's hand was given the victory. And we enter into his victory. That's what the promised land is about. It's us entering into Christ's victory, which he has accomplished when he went to the cross. So let us not be wandering around in the wilderness, but let's enter in to the promised land.
Amen. Amen. Let's begin singing 439. A life of overcoming, a life of ceaseless praise. Be this thy blessed portion throughout the coming days. The victory was purchased on Calvary's cross for thee. Sin shall not have dominion. The Son hath made thee free. Verse 2, and wouldst thou know the secret of constant victory, let in the overcomer, and he will conquer thee. Thy broken spirit, taken in sweet captivity, shall glory in his triumph and share his victory. 439.